This is episode 480. The COVID years, 2020 and 2021, have been referred to as the Great Awakening because COVID woke a lot of people up to the fact that pharmaceutical companies run the media, the government, and economically much of the Western world, and that their mainstream medically educated friends, or even their very own doctors that so passionately promoted the jab that caused so many health problems, those people are really just employees doing what they're told to do. They're no more superior than anyone else who doesn't think for themselves or do their own research. On this episode, we speak to someone who has done a lot of their own research, the author of a book called Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies, which is absolutely full of scientific references and which led to this podcast, because these are, I believe, very important things for you to know and to learn about so that you can start making sense of this horrible world health crisis that we in the West find ourselves in and make better choices about your health and for your family and for your kids and actually heal and actually lose weight and actually reverse conditions that you feel like you're stuck with forever. This is one of those episodes where I guarantee you'll have at least three holy shit moments, and you might need to listen a few times, or you might need to take a little while to actually come to terms with what is being shared here, as there are some very big ideas that might feel a bit overwhelming or confronting. So grab your tinfoil hat and grab your lifelong health and let's dive in. Even as a scientist and nutritionist, I was secretly trapped in binge eating and hooked on sugar. And let's be real, the so-called solutions can feel overwhelming. Calorie counting, restrictive diets, weight loss pills, surgery, and even injections. I'm Maddie Lansdowne, and the truth is, more nutrition facts aren't the answer. It's understanding why we eat the way we do. And you don't need to be perfect to achieve great health either. That shift changed everything for me, and now I share it here as the host of the Real Weight Loss Coach podcast, where it's my mission to help 1 million people break free from the yo-yo diet cycle for good by bringing you the conversations that really matter in nutrition, health, and psychology. And I'm not afraid to challenge mainstream health advice when it doesn't stack up. Are you ready? Let's begin. What's up, my healthy friends? A quick internet high five to you for deciding to prioritize your health and listen to this show. There's so much noise out there that these days less is definitely more, and I'm glad we made it into your less pile today. All right, so this year it's my mission to support 500 people to achieve real weight loss. And by real, I mean dealing with what's really weighing you down and not just the number on the scale. So links to chat with us about how we help people with sugar addiction, emotional binge, and overeating are down in the show notes or the caption below. So scroll down, click the link, book in a time, let's have a conversation. All right, today's guest is Dr. Brian Artis. And if you've ever heard of him, buckle up, because this conversation is going to blow your mind. So Brian's the guy who connected the dots between hospital protocols, his father-in-law's death, and what he calls, and I kind of agree, one of the biggest medical cover-ups of our time. He's written the best-selling book, Moving Beyond COVID-19 Lies, and has been fearlessly taking on Big Pharma, Anthony Fauci, and the entire medical establishment. So get ready for a big conversation. Brian, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, and I love hearing Australians say my last name. Dr. Artis. I love it. It's amazing. I love it every time I hear it. Hello, Australians and those around the world who are here joining us today. God bless you all. I hope life is amazing for you.
So maybe just to paint the picture for people that are new to you, and I suspect there's possibly a few people listening that are thinking like, oh, I haven't heard of this guy before. Like, can you just maybe give us a quick wrap up of your background and credentials just to sort of give people an idea of where you're coming from?
Absolutely. So my name is Dr. Brian Artis. When I was a young adult, my youngest sister was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and I decided I was going to go off to learn everything about health and go to med school. When I got to the MCATs and getting ready to enter into med school, which I'd already been accepted to, I started having issues with the medical profession and started getting gaslit by different medical professionals. And I decided to leave that profession altogether and go find out how much can I possibly learn about how God designed the human body. How does it heal itself? How does it detox itself? How does it recover from illnesses and symptoms? Can the human body actually be able to live symptom-free after it's been diagnosed medically with a condition? So I went off to chiropractic school, acupuncture school, became a clinical nutritionist. I opened up a practice here in the United States, two of them, one in Tennessee in 2004 to 2009. Sold that, moved to Dallas, Texas, had a had a clinic here called Artist Healing Center that was in Dallas from 2009 to 2018. And after a few years of being in practice and helping thousands of people from 16 different countries, helping them actually to resolve and remit all of their symptoms related to different autoimmune diseases, I loved. My passion was helping people in practice come from all over the world who were told they had medical conditions they would never be free of, and they would only be able to drug themselves for the rest of their life because it was a genetic disorder, obviously. This is their blanket sweep for medicine. You can't do anything about it. You've inherited all these problems. And one after another, without doing any advertising, no nothing, I would just take a patient, help them reverse all of their symptoms, free them of their disease. Even medical doctors would tell them, who'd actually diagnosed them, would tell them, you don't have this condition anymore. You must have been misdiagnosed. No. That's the way of dismissing that someone can actually be healed. And the truth is, you can be healed for 99% of all things people are diagnosed with. You don't have to live with these conditions the pharmaceutical industry and the medical establishments tell you you have and you can't live without. That is not true. You've all been lied to. So I did this one after another with patients, had about 16,000 patients in those 16 years. But I started getting the impression late in like 2014 and 15 that I needed to take these principles of health, nutrition, diet, detoxing to help improve the lives of people in larger numbers, not just one-on-one in practice, which we had great success at doing. And so in 2018, I pulled the trigger after training several practitioners in my practice to take it over. I then sold it, spent a year developing specific nutritional products based on the principles I had learned in clinical practice for years. And then I launched a company called Artist Labs that is now Nature Wins. And it is a supplement company where I formulate products based on nutritional principles. And that took about a year developing the first set of products and doing a clinical trial. Then comes 2020, February 2020. And my father-in-law got a fever and a headache, and he was in his early 90s and walked himself into a hospital here in Dallas, Texas. He walked in there with just fever and a headache. He was diagnosed within an hour of being there with a positive blood test, they said, of the flu, influenza. Mm. So they admitted him. And over the next 10 days, they drugged him to death and killed him with a drug protocol for the flu. On day 5, I actually went up to the hospital and challenged the medical doctors with the treatments they were giving him. They had included a drug called vancomycin, which is an antibiotic that doesn't treat the flu virus, which is absurd. So I walked into the room on day 5 after being told for 5 days. On day 1, he was diagnosed with the flu. Day 2, he now has pneumonia. Day 3, we're now contacted and told he's now in acute kidney failure and his heart is so full of water that he's now going in and out of consciousness. Now, just so y'all know, this is not normal flu reactions. So I go up there on day 5 when I'm hearing he's going unconscious and I was like, this is ridiculous. And he's being put on a breathing machine. I take off up to the hospital where we were being told we weren't allowed to come up there, not because of COVID in February 2020, but because my mother-in-law, his wife, 3 days before he gets the flu symptoms and goes to the hospital, she broke her neck and was in a rehab center, and the rehab center found out. She's in her late 80s. She just happened to fall in her assisted living home. She broke a vertebrae in her neck, was sent to a rehab center, and while me and my wife are there with her, and they hear that her husband is now going up to the hospital and has been diagnosed with the flu, because there's a bunch of old people in this rehab center, when they hear these discussions on the phone, they ask us not to have anybody that's up there with the mother-in-law go up to the hospital because they might bring the flu back with them to the rehab center and other people might get sick. That's why me and my wife did not go up there for 5 days. Instead, my wife's sister was up with her dad and every day just giving us updates. Well, day 5 came, and when I hear he's going in and out of consciousness, I had enough. I drove up there with my wife, go into the room to find out that he's being drugged with a drug that is published to cause acute kidney failure in a high percentage of people you give it to. And he's been on that since day 1. And it's an antibiotic that only treats bacteria. And he's been diagnosed with a flu virus. Antibiotics, everybody on earth listening to this, does not treat viruses. And if you trust federal health agencies, go look at their documents. It says someone diagnosed with a viral infection should never be given antibiotics. Why? It says it could cause more harm than good. And they've been doing this for 5 days straight. This is what led to the pneumonia diagnosis the next day, what led to the acute kidney failure diagnosis. So I was there later than the rounds of the doctors that day on day 5. So I came back the next morning, met with the medical doctors, and got them to change the entire hospital protocol they had him on for the flu for the last 5 days. We changed the drugs, put them on different drugs. I got the hospital administrators to approve this. And then they put him on a new regimen. And within 4 hours, he comes out of his coma. He's completely able to breathe on his own. His entire pneumonia is gone that he's been diagnosed with now for 5 days. All of his life has changed. When he comes alert, we're told he's probably dying from the acute kidney failure from the flu. No, it wasn't. It was drug-induced kidney failure from vancomycin. Go look it up. And the medical doctors act like they don't know this. They can go look it up too. I showed them all. They agreed. Let's take him off the drug. 4 hours later, his whole health is reversed. We go home after spending a few hours with him, excited that the medical profession had worked with us to change the protocols to improve his healing and experience. When we get home that night, what we find out later, which is why anybody on earth knows who I am right now, including this interview, is I go up the next morning because at 11 o'clock at night, the hospital on day six, when we're up there making all these changes, after we left, having worked with the medical staff to change the protocols and watch his health recover, the nurses called, were told to call my wife at 11 p.m. after we're home when they stopped visiting hours. And we find out from the nurse's station that the hospital administrators and the attending medical doctors and the nursing staff on his floor all had a secret meeting after we left. And they had all decided that the nurses needed to call Jane, my wife, and tell her that they were no longer going to talk to Dr. Brian Artis ever again. And he's not allowed to come up here and converse with anybody in the medical staff because he's not a blood relative and he's not the wife of the person in the room. So they weren't going to talk to me. These were their reasoning. And they said they're going to put Weldon, my father-in-law, back on the original flu protocol they had him on starting right then at 11 p.m.
Wow.
And they were not going to continue what was saving his life. So again, they said they weren't going to talk to me anymore. Well, I was up there at 7 a.m. the next morning waiting for them to come in the door. And then this was the challenge moment. I mean, I just went off on the medical doctors, went off on the nurse's station, and it led to me being kicked out of the hospital by security. And I told my family then, if you let them kick me out of here, they're going to kill your father here in about 3 days and put him on palliative care and drug him to death on drugs that sedate somebody. He'll take his last breath in front of you and they're going to murder him in front of you and bill Medicare for it. And this is exactly what happened.
Wow, it's awful.
So as a result of him being killed in that hospital under palliative care, being dosed on 4.5 hours worth of morphine that kills you, it stops your heart from beating. It's a sedation drug. Stops your ability of your diaphragm to contract, to draw on air, paralyzes the heart. They killed him. 3 months later, I learned after my grief, anger, funeral, estate planning, all the stuff you got to deal with the loss of a loved one, I discovered that the NIH had published a memo mandating a specific drug for all Americans that enter a hospital and are diagnosed with COVID-19. And it was an experimental drug. The memo was from a guy named Dr. Anthony Fauci that everybody in the world knows now, thanks to COVID. Nobody knew him before. But anyway, unless you had HIV and AIDS back in the 80s, no one's ever heard of this guy. All of a sudden, this guy is telling everybody in America, you can only use this one experimental drug that's never been FDA approved called Remdesivir. And he listed on this 3-paragraph memo that got sent to all hospitals in America. He said this drug was proven safe and effective against the Ebola virus in Africa in a study in 2019. Which it was not. He lied in the memo. And then he lied and said that it was proven safe and effective for COVID-19 patients in a 3-month trial that went from January to March of 2020. So 2 months before I'm reading this memo in May of 2020 is when I'm reading it. Now, because I was retired from practice, I had all the time to read this stuff at home. But when I realized that Remdesivir, this experimental drug, Anthony Fauci had been lying to the whole hospital systems of America, that all doctors were now going to be mandated to give this drug. And if they didn't, they could have their licenses taken away from them. I got angry because the drug Remdesivir from the research studies he had in his memo hyperlinked, when he went and read them, each of the human trials, the safety boards for those research studies had claimed in the trial period that Remdesivir had a higher death rate than the diseases they were treating and had to be pulled from these human trials. So, for example, in the Ebola trial, Ebola supposedly kills 50% of all people. Remdesivir had a 53% mortality rate, which is higher than the disease. So they kicked it out of the trial that Anthony Fauci funded, I learned on this day reading the research study. So he absolutely knew he was lying to the whole American people. Well, when I failed to save my own father-in-law's life in a hospital, That same day of discovering this NIH memo from Dr. Anthony Fauci about a drug called Remdesivir, I decided to hire a publicist out of Washington, D.C., and became I tried to help save as many lives as possible around the world. I didn't want other families around the world I was never going to meet, most likely. I didn't want them experiencing the grief and loss needlessly that I and my family had endured for the last 3 months prior to me getting into the media. So around the world, I am called the Remdesivir guy. I coined a phrase, run death is near, because no one had ever heard of that drug. So I called it run death is near. If you hear something that rhymes with run death is near, tell them you do not consent to the drug. And man, did I get the world's attention with that one. So the whole world understood and heard this information over the next 6 months. Well, I've called the Remdesivir guy. I've been asked to testify in Capitol buildings around the world. I was even asked to testify in the King's Court in Parliament. I mean, I was all over the place. I was suing hospitals. I was in the national media suing hospitals all over America for killing people who did not consent to Remdesivir. I mean, that was my life for the periods of COVID. I don't know what your life was like, but I know what my life was like. It was like trying to be a sentinel for people of hope and warning. Just stay home. You're safer there than going to the hospital, which was true.
It was pretty similar over here. I was on the streets protesting. I was in the courts as well, fighting as well. So yeah, that's why I was really looking forward to this conversation, because I was very much willing. I wasn't just similar to you. I think there was a lot of people on social media with a voice, and I was like, no, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm not afraid of putting myself, my life, my whatever on the line for what I believe in. And so I literally went to court, sued various organizations for many millions, won, had things thrown out because the opposition couldn't match me. And yeah, I went to 26 protests, stood in the front line. Awesome. You know, we're not quite America, but we had, you know, still the military and stupid amounts of police officers standing right in front of me. And it's like, you know, speak even if your voice shakes comes to mind. And that's exactly what that period was like for me.
Yeah, I believe you. I'm proud of you. You need to stand up when things are misguided, misleading, and deceitful. And that's what we found. All the narrative of COVID-19 was a lie. So I'm also, as was mentioned here, I've summarized after COVID ended what's called a book. It's called Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies. This is my book. It's actually number one globally. I just released an Audible version 4 weeks ago. It's the number one best-selling Audible book in the whole world every single day. There's 30 million books out there. So this is a summary of everything that I know and saw in research and presented related to COVID-19. My father-in-law's stories in there. It sets the stage for why I am known anywhere in the whole world. I'm no longer called the Remdesivir guy because there's been these other points of interest that have taken a much larger stance in the mindsets of people around the world that they are gravitating to. So I then became the snake venom guy in the year 2022 after releasing a documentary called Watch the Water. If you want to know why I'm called the snake venom guy, you should read my book and go watch the documentary, because it's pretty disgusting what we were all lied to about. Just so you know, a bat did not cough in China and make the whole world sick. I'm sorry if you bought that belief system and that narrative. It was a complete fraud and a lie. So no bat coughed to make the whole world sick and call it COVID. So the next thing now is I'm being called the nicotine guy all around the world. And I mean, you'll see my clips everywhere. And this all started with the Watch the Water documentary, where I put on the credits of a film that saw tens of millions of views overnight all over the world. I put in the credits that the cure to all things COVID related is actually nicotine. And the media wasn't allowing this to be known, but it was already being published in medical journals all over the world. Scientists all over the world knew why smokers were immune to COVID-19. And it was because tobacco users were getting nicotine, which actually protects every cell of the human body from the spike proteins they said was causing the symptoms of COVID-19. So what I've learned since that documentary came out was it's not just the SARS-CoV-2 virus that is prevented to make a human being sick with nicotine. There are many viruses that are published to be cured with nicotine, including the rabies virus, HIV virus, all 29 family of flu viruses. And the reason why this is such a big deal, and I'll just say it here, the guy you're listening to right now vomited on the whole world that nicotine is the cure for all things COVID. You don't need a vaccine for nothing. You definitely don't need Remdesivir in a hospital. That information getting out was so threatening that Australia, 4 weeks after Watch the Water documentary came out, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, America, and the UK all in unison on one day, all published national press releases that they are going to now ban all tobacco products and nicotine products from their citizens by the year 2030. And we're starting actions today to start those bans. Now, what you don't know is what we unveiled was that nicotine found in the tobacco plant, found in eggplants, tomatoes, white potatoes, and cauliflower, celery. Yeah, they all have nicotine. You just didn't know it. All of these plants have nicotine in them. That is a perfect antidote for most viruses in the whole world that you're listening to are going to be the next pandemic. The governments of the world that are brought to you by Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, all your governments, by the way, and all your politicians are brought to you by Big Pharma. Big Pharma does not want their little celebrity voices speaking in favor of nicotine and tobacco because they have big vaccine agendas coming your way for every pandemic that they have named are all viruses coming in the future. Well, they can't let nicotine and tobacco products be over the counter for you because this would stand in the way of getting mandated, locked down, EUA approved, emergency authorization approved vaccines for future pandemics. Tobacco has been known to be a curative agent for thousands of medical conditions for over 500 years. And they cannot let that continue to stand because the nicotine is actually the preventative agent for most of these viruses they want you to believe are coming from animals all around the world. So if you want to learn more about that, that's why this was written. So if you want to understand why it is 200 countries right now are actively banning nicotine and tobacco products, and why it is they're not banning alcohol that causes liver toxicity and cancer, you want to know why they're going after nicotine that's found in a ton of your vegetables you give your kids every day, you might want to read the book. And you might want to follow this podcast and follow the links he's going to be applying to this. Because you'll realize, oh, you've all been lied to, just like I was.
I'll put a bunch of links down in the show notes below. But I think for a lot of people listening, that they would have been a part of the era of cigarettes and tobacco being demonized because of nicotine. Now, can you just talk to us about why that was incorrect messaging that we were given?
Absolutely. So in 1994, if you want to learn more about this, if you go to the drartistshow.com, I have a 3.5 hour presentation, all PowerPoints, videos, since 1994, what the American federal health agencies, including the FDA, why it was in August of 1994, they started publishing the lie that tobacco's addictiveness comes from nicotine and why they have to put warning labels on everything. That came from the FDA in America. Now, all of the countries follow our recommendations. So this is why Australia has these warnings on their packaging. What's amazing is they had to lie to you about the addictive quality of nicotine. There are over 30 drugs right now I can show you in research studies that are more addictive than nicotine. So why aren't they banning those drugs? Sugar is more addictive than cocaine and heroin. Why isn't the FDA and why aren't the governments of the world banning sugar like from being added to your food supply? Why aren't they doing that? Why are they only picking on nicotine? The truth is nicotine's a nutrient. Just like vitamin C in a fruit, nicotine is a nutrient found in all the nightshade vegetables at the highest amount. And yes, the tobacco plant is a nightshade family plant, just like your eggplants, tomatoes, you name it. And all of them have nicotine in them. Nicotine is not responsible for the addictive nature of tobacco. This is going to be shocking to all of you. Nicotine is not what is responsible for the addictive quality of tobacco products. And I just need to explain to you how it is I know that. I didn't just make that up. There's a university in the northeast part of the United States of America called the Harvard University. Harvard published in 2016 that there's man-made chemicals they've discovered in reviewing 7 million pages. And for all of you listening, have you read 7 million pages of anything? Harvard reviewed 7 million pages. 7 million pages of documents from the tobacco industry and how they developed their commercial tobacco products, cigarettes, snuff, you name it. And they filed FOIA requests with the FDA to get all of these in 2015. After reviewing those, after a year, they concluded and published that nicotine is not what is responsible for tobacco's addictiveness. Since the year 1970, the FDA, they figured out, has allowed tobacco giants around the world to add 15 man-made chemicals to their tobacco products that make them super addictive. And these chemicals, they name them and show you the names of all the chemicals the FDA has allowed all the tobacco giants since 1970 to add to their tobacco products to make them super addictive. And they're called pyrazines. P-Y-R-A-Z-I-N-E-S. There's 15 of them. And in the document, they actually give you the names. If you're wondering what those are, I actually show you the research study from Harvard in the book. It's in chapter 13. I even show you the screenshot of the 15 named pyrazines. Now, what I was shocked by, I didn't even know this. Did you know that in the same document from Harvard, they discovered that the FDA has a list, not of just 15 man-made addictive chemicals they're adding since the 1970s. There's a combined list that the FDA supplied to Harvard that the tobacco giants and their industry is allowed to add 599 listed man-made chemicals to all their tobacco products.
No wonder they're so toxic and, you know, disease-causing.
Oh, one of those in the list was arsenic is allowed to be added to the paper of cigarettes. Do you know what happens when you inhale arsenic?
Yeah, a lot of bad things.
That's a heavy metal that's a known carcinogen. It causes cancer.
Yeah.
Yet, what are you told about tobacco products? That tobacco and nicotine is responsible for causing cancer. Really? We know arsenic causes cancer, and they've been allowed to add that to their cigarette paper for years? Really? Did you know that sugar is allowed to be added to the tobacco leaf when they put it in a cigarette? Do you know what happens when you add sugar inside the tissues of a human that already has cancer agents in it? Does sugar feed cancer or turn it off?
It definitely feeds it and it grows much faster.
It feeds it. Now, I just gave you two ingredients of the 599 compounds that we know actually would cause cancer, accelerate cancer growth, yet all of the blame for the addictive quality and dangerous side effects of tobacco comes from just one nutrient found in tobacco, eggplants, tomatoes, bell peppers, zucchini, all it's nicotine. So you've all been lied to about nicotine. And if you guys are actually worried about the addictive quality of nicotine, all of you should stop giving your kids potato chips, French fries, and ketchup because they're loaded with nicotine. You just didn't know it. And if you really care about addictive stuff, stop giving your kids sugar. Yeah. Sugar's super addictive. Stop doing it.
Sugar and so, screens. Anyway,
this is what I've learned about nicotine. Nicotine is actually published, and I'll just say it here. It should be, you should understand this. When I said Big Pharma owns your government officials all around the world, you need to realize this. Any freedoms you had in Australia got it almost just worse than anybody that I can imagine during COVID-19. Mandates, lockdowns. Oh my God, you guys got it just worse than any state in the United States. I need you to recognize all the freedoms you had before COVID-19, all your freedoms that you experienced before 2020 were taken from you. And you were only allowed to get any of those freedoms you were used to. You were only allowed to get them back if you were able to prove to your government entities with a card that you consumed one industry's product, and it was a drug product made by Big Pharma. If you want to know who rules society in Australia, it's Big Pharma. If you want to know who rules the world, they got hundreds of countries in lockstep to lock down all of their citizens, take away all their freedoms to work, travel, celebrate, holidays, worship, you name it. They took all of those rights away and said, unless you show us you consumed our drug product, we're not giving them back to you. This is the level at which the tentacles of Big Pharma rules your country. So this, I preclude this statement. I just said all of this so that you understand the significance about what I'm about to tell you. Medical science knows about the tobacco plant and nicotine found in all nightshade vegetables. They know that nicotine alone, remember, Big Pharma's the problem here. Why is Big Pharma, you're about to realize why this is such a problem for them and why they needed the FDA, which they control through money, to lie that tobacco contains a highly addictive substance called nicotine and lying to you since 1994 about nicotine. Nicotine alone is published to prevent and cure Parkinson's disease. Nicotine alone is proven to prevent and cure Alzheimer's disease. Nicotine alone is published to cure MS. Nicotine alone is known to cure and reverse all inflammatory conditions like all arthritises, ulcerative colitis. It's also published that within 3 days of a small dose of nicotine, you can reverse myocarditis, a heart condition that has a 50% death rate in 5 years. It can be cured in 3 days with nicotine. Brain tumors called glioblastomas in 2021 were proven to be shrunk in half. 50% reduction with just 3 days of small doses of nicotine. Oh, how is that a threat to Big Pharma? They only make billions of dollars off of chemo, radiation, and surgery. They would never want you to know that nicotine alone can reverse that, ever. Well, now think about all the conditions I just named. How many billions of dollars worth of prescriptions for Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, ulcerative colitis, all arthritis is? Just imagine. What about autism? Did you know nicotine patches between the shoulder blade of an autistic adult or child has been proven for decades to help improve the violent behavior and antisocial behavior of all autistic people? Oh, okay.
Wow. That bit of information in this modern world is, you know, with the rate of autism, I think that'll blow a few people's minds.
Yes. Oh, and then what about schizophrenia, bipolarism? Did you know that they've already been able to prove that nicotine alone can reverse and improve those conditions? Yeah, how many people are on antipsychotic drugs for life being diagnosed or institutionalized with these conditions when you know tobacco has the cure or nicotine alone in a over-the-counter product has the cure? This is why 200 countries, including yours, buddy, Australia, are actively banning vape products with nicotine. They're not allowing those to be imported from specific countries. Why is they're actively trying to ban the use of tobacco and nicotine products from the entire world? It's pretty amazing, but this is all for greed and profit. They want you to suffer by lying to you that smoking has, or using a tobacco product has nicotine in it that's a highly addictive substance or a cancer-causing agent. The same lie had to be told during COVID-19 by all governments around the world. I guarantee you in Australia, you're seeing commercials about this. Smokers are at the highest risk for getting COVID, dying from COVID, and you need the vaccines more than anybody else, and you definitely need to stop smoking, Australia. We heard these all day long to this day in America, commercials all over the place. The reason for that is this. Smokers, they realized all around the world within the first 4 months of COVID were the least likely individuals in the whole world, regardless of age, gender, whatever, comorbidities, chronic tobacco users were the only ones that appeared immune to COVID-19. Never got sick, never tested positive with a PCR test, never ended up in hospitals and didn't die. And to this day, they're still the least affected by COVID-19 worldwide. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Totally against what all of you would have believed. Knowing it's a respiratory virus, supposedly, you would think smokers were the most affected. But they weren't.
And all those other chemicals, right? The other 599 chemicals, even in the presence of all of those additional chemicals that these products have, they still fared better.
Did you know that nicotine is published and known by itself to improve how the beta cells in the pancreas, how much insulin they release in type 1 diabetics to help reverse type 1 diabetes?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, who's that a threat to? It's a 100% threat to Eli Lilly that owns the monopoly on insulin for diabetics worldwide. They're here in America, by the way, in Indianapolis, Indiana. They cannot stand the idea that people would know nicotine has this potential for so many diabetics. This is why you're being lied to, in favor of profit, greed, and slavery to prescription drugs of big pharma.
The thing that, you know, I guess two aspects that I want to talk about, there's more science-y side, but also the philosophical side. The thing that I struggle to make sense of in regards to this profit and greed, and, you know, we've got a population in the US, Australia, you know, the Western world, where we're enslaved by our diseases and our medications and that kind of thing. At what point does that make no sense to do to your population because they are weak and unable to go to war and unable to defend and unable to protect? Like, I always wrestle with that idea. It's like, what government or empire wants to debilitate its own people? I get it to a point for profit, but at some point we're just so weak and pathetic that we're a sitting duck for invasion from enemies, you know, whoever that might be.
Amen. Yeah, that's a hard thing to wrestle with and to try to make sense of because you and I aren't sitting in these agenda meetings, clandestine meetings, making these plans for the world. So we're all just left to go, why would you do this? It doesn't even make sense. Don't the elites need someone to cook food for them and grow food for them and build their houses and do their landscaping? They don't want to do it. Don't they need other people on the planet? Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't.
However, I have to tell you something. What you don't know is they already know what they're doing. So let me give you an example.
The lockstep document, right?
They already know what they're doing. And it is so deceitful and evil, it's disgusting. Okay, so they produced an mRNA-type vaccine or a spike protein vaccine called AstraZeneca or Johnson & Johnson. Then you have your Pfizer, Moderna, mRNA vaccines. And then they shot them up in 5 billion people all over the world. even though there's only 8 billion, they knew everybody wasn't going to do it, but 5 billion people did it. Well, 5 billion people got it, but did 5 billion people die?
Not yet.
No, they didn't. However, you can look up, we actually did this during the entire pandemic. We wanted to know, does Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson here in America, are they keeping track of the different lots and batches of all these vaccines? And are we seeing people dying, having miscarriages, being diagnosed with turbo cancers in specific batches and lots? Oh, and just so you know, Big Pharma definitely tracks this. Okay, so when you saw a whole bunch of Pfizer, Moderna vaccines, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca vaccines being shipped to all the countries around the world, you thought they were all the same. They are not the same. Their lots and their batches and their ingredients were very different. And they keep track of these, and they keep track of by scanning with a QR code or scanning your vaccine card that has the lot number. And the, remember, they had to record the lot number and the batch number on your vaccine card. You didn't get the vaccine without knowing what lot and batch you were given. And that goes into a database that Big Pharma is watching. And they want to know who got which lots and which batches. There's actually a website called howbadismybatch.com. You can plug in your lot number and your batch number from your vaccine card. What you learn from this database is that all deaths, all miscarriages, all turbo cancers, all myocarditis, 95% of all of them came from only 5% of all the lots and batches of the various COVID vaccines. So that tells you they're not all the same. So they put some of the poisons, some of the genetic material, the mRNA technology in about 5% of all their lots and batches. And the rest of them were either saline, salt water, and they were learning from what was being tracked by Medicare specifically here in America. Everything that happens to a Medicare patient has to be uploaded to the Medicare database for government payouts for insurance. So if a Medicare patient older than 60 got a COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer or Moderna and within 2 days developed a heart attack, the medical doctor has to put that in their chart and it gets uploaded to Medicare, and Medicare would have known what lot and batch number of their vaccine they got, and that person had a heart attack within 2 days. Our deadly vaccine worked. Oh, these people died within 48 hours of getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, well, the medical doctor has to. It's not voluntary. They have to put it into the database that they received the vaccine, the lot and batch numbers in there from the day they came in to get the shot. 2 days later, they died. That has to be uploaded into Medicare. Why? They did hospice care. They did palliative care. They did something to make this person more comfortable before they died. And that has to be included in the billing for Medicare to Medicare. So they know and are tracking what are the effects of our experimental injections. So they, not everybody got the same thing. There's no way they did this, but their systems are so complete that they are tracking the vaccines, batch numbers, lots numbers for their experimental poisons and whatever they're putting together. They're not all the same. Obviously they don't prevent, infection. I mean, how many times did you all watch the president of the United States, Joe Biden, say, if you get a COVID shot, it'll prevent you from getting COVID? Five times he got the COVID shot and five times went into the media to say he got COVID after getting the COVID shot. How many times do you have to watch that? Okay. It obviously had nothing in it. He's still getting sick, It has no prevention or immunity, no benefit. This is what Big Pharma is doing. And they've been doing it for 40 years now, tracking lots and batches and taking one lot. Let's say they make 1,000 MMR vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella. They make 1,000 of these shots in one batch. And then they send only two to a specific city all over the country, two from that same lot or batch that are deadly, toxic, would create death in the infant that gets it. That two kids would die in Nashville, Tennessee, where there's 3 million people. Two kids would die from SIDS in Nashville. Two kids would have died or had heart attacks in Seattle, Washington. One would have it in Melbourne, Australia. And none of you talk. Like, none of you share this information, so you never know. It's all linked to just one batch or one lot. And this is exactly what Big Pharma has been doing for decades. And Andy Wakefield, give him the credit. He blew the whistle on this many, many years ago.
Do you want to know how to lose weight without counting calories or needing to use restrictive diets? Turns out the answer is on Instagram. You might be interested to know that over 70% of our paying clients begin their journey with a weight loss goal. Most of them achieve this goal without fad diets and without calorie counting. And in the process, they also rewire their brains to stop craving sugar, and they stop their secret binge eating sessions without the need to use loads of willpower. Why does what we do work? Because the fat that you want to lose, it isn't just about the calories you're consuming. It's actually wild how differently we do things. We work on your mind and your body gets better. And I think more people need to know about how we can do this for you too, which is exactly why I'm back on Instagram as The Real Weight Loss Coach. If you want to know how to really drop the weight that's been holding you down, how to keep it off, and to stay healthy long into the future, then follow me on Instagram. The link to my profile is in the show notes below, or you can search for me on Instagram by typing in The Real Weight Loss Coach. Give me a follow and I'll chat to you in the comments and the DMs over there.
Yeah, there's a very dark rabbit hole to go down of vaccine truth, you know, and COVID's just one piece of that really dark rabbit hole. But I feel like the thing that I'm curious to ask, like there's obviously a thousand directions that this conversation could possibly go. But the thing that I think is most interesting, maybe to people that listen to a health podcast, is the idea that that nicotine is useful for preventing all of these issues or resolving a lot of these issues. And I'm particularly interested because vaccine conversation and schedules, you know, we're talking before we hit record, you've got 8 kids, which is wild. I've got 1, and we're at that stage of life where, you know, everyone's are saying, oh, you know, I haven't had my jabs, should I come over? And, you know, our friends and family members are really conscious around, you know, vaccines and this conversation. But what is the mechanistic sort of thing when it comes to viruses, where nicotine can help resolve these particular issues or prevent these issues when it comes to viruses that we have vaccines for?
Very good. Okay, so number one, let's just talk about SARS-CoV-2 virus, because this is where the nicotine discussion started. So in Paris, France, April 2020, 4 months into the pandemic here in America anyway, these scientists in France... Now, listen to what I say, people, because this should shock you. If you read the research study, it's in my book in chapter 13. French researchers decided to order online the spike proteins of COVID from 2 countries. Did you hear what I said?
They ordered it online. It was purchasable.
They ordered online the spike proteins of COVID from 2 different countries. And UPS and FedEx delivers in a box from 2 countries. They write in the research studies, we received the spike proteins of COVID from China and the United Kingdom. That's what they say. Okay. Just, you know, that should just shock you right out of the gate. Okay. April 2020, 4 months of the pandemic, 2 countries, China and the UK, are able to send in a box the spike proteins of COVID. Okay. These researchers decide they're going to run DNA analysis on these spike proteins that they received in the mail for COVID. There's only 2, S1 and S2 is what it was abbreviated. Mm-hmm. All right, so they take these spike proteins, they're proteins, they put them in this DNA analysis and it spits out what they are identical to. And the French researchers were very excited to learn this because it answered a query that was going on around the world by scientists and medical professionals who were wondering, how come smokers appear immune to COVID? This is what's going up all around the world. They were wondering why hospitals were empty, devoid of smokers showing up. They thought they would be flooded with smokers all over the world, but they were all empty, all the hospitals, for the first 4 months of COVID. How are smokers not flooding these hospitals with this respiratory virus? All right, so the DNA analysis and DNA results of the 2 spike proteins from China and the UK were this. They found that it was most identical to 2 things. The venom of 2 snakes, the king cobra's venom called cobra toxin, and a snake out of China called the crate snake. Both very neurologically toxic venomous snakes. And this is what they said. This is exciting because now that we know what the 2 spike proteins of COVID are identical to, we can answer the question for all medical people around the world, why smokers aren't getting COVID. These 2 neurotoxic, nerve toxic brain spinal cord nerve toxic venoms only bind to a specific receptor on all cells of the human body called nicotine receptors. For all of you out there who like science terminology versus me just making this sound easier for you to understand, they're actually not called nicotine receptors. They're called alpha-7 nicotinic acetylcholine receptors. For short, they call them nicotine receptors, alpha-7 NACHR receptors. And they said these crate snake venoms called bungarotoxin, king cobra venom called cobratoxin, the two spike proteins of COVID identified from DNA analysis, bind to this alpha-7 nicotine receptor and blocks the signal from a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. So if you want to taste something you put in your mouth, acetylcholine, when you taste bitter, sour, sweet things in your mouth, from your tongue, acetylcholine goes to your brain and tells it you're tasting something sweet or sour. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the venom of these two spike proteins gets on the nerves in your tongue, it binds to these nicotine receptors and acetylcholine can no longer transfer to the brain to bring signals to the brain. So you lost your taste. And in the olfactory bulb nerves of your nasal cavity, you couldn't smell anything for most of you also, as long as those venom proteins were there. The scientists said, now that we know with the DNA analysis that these two venom these spike proteins are more identical to snake venoms than anything else that target nicotine receptors, chronic tobacco users, the nicotine in those plants, the tobacco plant, binds to these alpha-7 nicotine receptors. It's perfectly shaped to fit in those receptors more than venom is from snakes. This is why smokers and tobacco users appear immune to COVID-19. And in this paper, they also said, this also explains why ivermectin is showing promise in treating acute COVID cases, because ivermectin also has a similar action on alpha-7 nicotine receptors as nicotine, but nicotine is more perfect for the receptors than ivermectin and will work most often than ivermectin will. Anybody who tried ivermectin and it didn't work to resolve their symptoms, the moment they tried nicotine, within 45 minutes, all their symptoms went away for COVID. Mm. All around the world. It's been amazing to watch. But it's because the researchers did the work, the science, the DNA analysis to confirm why it is ivermectin. They answered the question, why ivermectin and nicotine for tobacco users was so effective. Now, for all these other conditions, I just need to speak to this. Every cell in the human body has nicotine receptors. All of them. Your brain does, your eyes do, your white blood cells that are your immune cells to fight infection, B cells, T cells. Did you know all of them have nicotine receptors on the outside of them to activate them to do their job?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know every pancreas cell to produce insulin has nicotine receptors on it? Did you know that your heart has nicotine receptors on every cell that tell it to beat or relax? So anybody out there who's thinking because you've been brainwashed by mainstream media and your federal health agencies that nicotine is bad for you, when you're listening to this, if you're upset with me because I'm telling you what science already knows, if you have a problem with your body being designed to have nicotine receptors on all of it, and yet you believe that nicotine is bad for you, you can ask God at Judgment Day, why did he create you to have nicotine receptors everywhere in your body? Dr. Artis did not create you. I don't know why you're designed that way. You just are. But there's nicotine in a ton of your vegetables you were never told about by your federal health agencies either. So there's a reason why they haven't told you. All right, so nicotine has one action on all nicotine receptors on all cells of the human body. Nicotine activates all of your cells. It activates it. It turns them on. So if the nerve is supposed to taste things, nicotine turns it on. There are other chemicals, other poisons and venoms that actually bind to the receptors, but turn it off. It doesn't mean the nerve died. It's just not doing anything. So picture a light switch on your wall. You can walk over and turn on the switch and you'll see the light come on. The light bulb is just sitting there all day long. Mm-hmm. You have to turn it on or turn it off. Nicotine turns on the light bulb. It turns on all your cells and its function. There are chemicals that are called antagonistic to the nicotine receptors. Antagonistic means it shuts it off. Anything that is an agonist turns it on.
Mm-hmm.
And nicotine is the perfect agonist for all nicotine receptors on all the receptors of your human body. In fact, nicotine, like caffeine found in green leaf tea and coffee, is an activator. It's an agonist to all the nicotine receptors in your brain. So as everybody's in Australia and America drinking tea and green leaf tea and coffee for caffeine to wake themselves up every day, did you know nicotine has the exact same action? Did you know nicotine is considered a nootropic, meaning it improves memory, focus, and recall?
Yeah, this is fascinating. I've never heard it called a nootropic before.
Look it up. Nicotine by itself is a nootropic. You know what's even more disgusting to me? Is that the scientist in France in April of 2020 wrote in their research paper, which had to be peer-reviewed by other medical doctors and then published by medical journals, which it was, they wrote in the paper in April of 2020, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They wrote, if all governments of the world would just pass out nicotine gum, nicotine patches, nicotine gum to all of their citizens, you could end the global pandemic of COVID in 2 weeks or less.
Yeah.
But that's not what your government told you. Your government told you to stop smoking, don't trust tobacco, and only trust our vaccines. The entire agenda of COVID-19 was a shot in every arm. That was it. And who benefits from giving a shot to every person in every country? Only one person does. The company that makes the vaccines. Could you imagine, right now, Australians, listen to me, could you imagine if there was a declared new pandemic of chronic fatigue in Australia? There's a chronic fatigue syndrome pandemic. And in order to go back to work, because they're not going to let you go to work because you're going to pass out from all your fatigue, you're not allowed to drive there, you're not allowed to go to work, you have to consume coffee every day and show us you took Starbucks coffee every day in order to go to work during this pandemic. That's exactly what happened during COVID-19. You were told you need to prove to us you consumed an industry's product to have all your freedoms and rights back. This is about as absurd as you hearing there's a chronic fatigue virus out there and you need to drink Starbucks coffee, 4 shots of espresso every morning and show us you consumed our caffeinated product in order to be able to focus and go back to work. It's just as absurd as what you just experienced for the last 5 years, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been a very absurd time. I'm curious, with all of these announcements to ban all of these nicotine products, like, do we all need to buy tobacco plants and plant them in our backyard? Like, is this going to become like a marijuana scenario where it's, you know, I mean, marijuana is slowly becoming legalized because big
noticed farmers... what happened with marijuana. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going
to
say
it made it illegal. Now it's coming back to fruition because they're finding it actually has medicinal benefits that you can't ignore.
I would also argue that it's coming back because they've finally found a way to sell it to you as a tax it and sell it to you as a government profit vehicle.
Of course.
But maybe we're going to see that same trajectory with nicotine.
The nicotine thing we need to talk about. You ready? Because
it appears,
I just gave you a narrative that Big Pharma doesn't want you having access to nicotine and tobacco plants because they're selling a whole bunch of drugs to these conditions that otherwise nicotine and tobacco cures and prevents. Okay. I'm really sorry, but do you have a few minutes here I can share with you exactly what's going on?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Let's educate you about how Big Pharma works. This is the pharmaceutical industry. They make drugs, they sell drugs, they prescribe drugs. That's what they do. They write the curriculum for all medical schools. So medical doctors leave after 4 years. They're just indoctrinated that the human body is so stupid. It has no immune system. It can't heal itself. It can't recover from anything. You have to drug it with our drug products. That is all they're taught for 4 years. If you want to learn how to get rid of all of your creative thinking and common sense and logic, go to med school. They'll take it all out of you. And you'll walk out just repeating everything you read in a medical textbook brought to you by big pharmaceutical companies. Okay, it's just how it works. You already know this history. You've read up on the Rockefeller past, creating the Flexner Report 1910 to rewrite the curriculum for all medical schools in America and Canada. And then it just spread all around the world. Okay?
Yep.
For profit. Okay? It's a profit game. All right, so here we go. You ready? So in the early 1800s, there's a guy named Louis Pasteur. This has everything to do with nicotine and why all countries are being told to ban it. Okay, this whole thing, I'm about to tell a story, and now it's going to make sense to you. Okay? If you don't study history, you are going to relive it, and we are reliving it right now. And it's just because you haven't studied this history. I have studied this history. I'm about to tell you what happened. All right, so here we go. In the late 1800s, the Louis Pasteur Institute in Paris, France, decided to send some scientists to an area of the Amazon jungles in South America, and they asked them to go collect from the medicine men and women in those villages in the early 1800s. We need you to go there and find out how do they keep the people in the jungles from dying from venomous snakes, venomous scorpions, and venomous spiders. There's no ERs and hospitals down there. There's no scientific labs to protect these people. How do they preserve the life of people who have venomous encounters with creatures? So these scientists go into the area of the Amazon called Sumarin. That's what it's called, S-U-M-A-R-I-N. They go to this area, and when they meet with the medicine men and women in all the villages, they're told, when they're asked, how do you preserve the life of people after snake bites and venomous deadly creatures? How do you keep them alive? Every medicine man and woman had the same answer, no matter what tribe they were at and what part of the Amazon they were in. They said, the tradition has been passed down to us from our family lineages and genealogies, that there's two plants in the jungle. We have to go out and get two parts of two different plants. So they get the bark of a tree and the bean of a tree. They bring it back to the village and they steep it in a tea and water, boil it, and then have the person who was the victim of the snake, spider, scorpion, they have them drink this tea.
Mm-hmm.
So as they went throughout this area called Sumarin, as they went throughout there, they gathered these this bean and this bark of a tree, and they took it back to France. They were commissioned to go find out what's in the plants or in the jungles these people are using to preserve the lives of people from venomous snake bites and others. So they get back to Louis Pasteur's Institute in the early 1800s, and they have chemists who start breaking down the bark of the tree that doesn't have a name, and they start breaking down the bean using chemicals to break it down. And they want to know, are there any two chemicals or components or nutrients in both that are identical that would probably be responsible for preserving the lives of these people? And they found that in the bean of this tree and in the bark of this tree, the separate tree, they found there was only one chemical or molecule in it that was identical. And they named it after isolating it. They named it Australia. They named it coumarin, C-O-U-M-A-R-I-N, coumarin. Now, when they isolated this thing, they wanted to know what's its action in a mammal. Mm-hmm. So they experimented on animals. They isolated the coumarin. They put it in there. And what they found was is it causes a blood thinning effect. It thins the blood. Mm-hmm. It also breaks down blood clots. That's what they discovered. This nutrient is called coumarin, C-O-U-M-A-R-I-N. The next thing, once they figured out what it does, awesome, just so y'all know, every venomous creature has two actions on the blood. It either thins the blood or it causes blood clotting to lead to death. So what they found was most of the creatures in this part of the Amazon had blood clotting venom. So coumarin was breaking down the blood clots and preventing death from strokes and heart attacks from blood clotting. So they decided then, Louis Pasteur Institute tells the scientist, chemist, your job now is to make a synthetic form of coumarin that we can turn into a patented drug. And it took them decades to figure out how to do this, but they figured it out and they created a synthetic form of coumarin, C-O-U-M-A-R-I-N, into a drug that all of you now know to this day is known as Coumadin, which is a prescription drug found in every pharmacy to help thin the blood of people who have thick blood or blood clotting conditions. So Coumadin, they just replaced the R in the nutrient coumarin with a D and called it Coumadin. And it comes with a prescription. It can only come from your medical doctor, brought to you by Big Pharma. Got it? Okay, mm-hmm. This is how Big Pharma works. Now, when they bring Coumadin into the United States of America where the FDA is, the FDA is told by the pharmaceutical giants who make Coumadin, they tell the FDA, you have to ban the bean we got coumarin from South America. You have to ban it from your food supply. And in my book, I show you the ban of coumarin found in the tonka bean in South America. Tonka beans are not allowed to be broken down or added to the food supply in America. To this day, it is still banned on the FDA's website. You cannot add tonka beans to our food supply. Wow. Why would they tell you that? Because Coumadin makes them billions of dollars. And if you consumed tonka beans in a tea, soup, cereal, whatever, you could break down blood clots every single day and never have a blood clotting disorder ever. They know this. This is why they banned tonka beans from the food supply of America. I just said that this entire story is for you to understand why countries around the world are banning tobacco products and nicotine. Tobacco just like the tonka bean in South America, tonka beans were found to have the highest content of coumarin over the bark in the tree they were also given. The bark of the tree, by the way, is what you know as cinnamon bark. It's cinnamon. That's what has coumarin in it. Did you know coumarin and cinnamon by itself is known to create blood thinning and break down blood clots?
Yeah.
It's not at the same doses in tonka beans. It just takes a lot more. This is why they haven't cared to ban that one yet. Tonka beans have so much more. All right. Tobacco has so much more nicotine, like the tonka bean has coumarin, more than cinnamon. Tobacco plants have more nicotine than any other plant on earth. Therefore, they have been actively working to ban tobacco leaf access and nicotine in concentrated forms in favor of something else. I just told you the story. What was it in favor of? They took coumarin and they changed it to a drug, synthetically, a fake version, and called it Coumadin. Right now, there are currently 20 pharmaceutical drug companies that have patents for a synthetic nicotine drug that you can only get for prescription. And that is why they're banning tobacco and nicotine agents that are over the counter right now. That is why they're banning them all around the world. In fact, you live in Australia. People in Australia have notified me over the last year that already Australia is requiring nicotine agents to be given by prescription only. Well, if that's true, that's not the rest of the world. We can still get them over the counter. This is what Big Pharma is doing. They want to get rid of tobacco and the commercially available tobacco products and the nicotine agents you can get over the counter in favor of prescription drugs made from nicotine, synthetic forms of nicotine found in a plant. They need to bastardize and make the world, all of you watching everyday commercials, billboards, radio announcements, they need all of you to be angry at tobacco use. And they want all of you clamoring at the doors of your institutions, demanding that governments around the world ban tobacco. This makes their efforts so much easier to profit off of synthetic nicotine that's in the plants God gave you. This is how Big Pharma works. Oh, and let's just take this a little bit further. Australia has a smoke-free agenda. They want a smoke-free country by the year 2030. New Zealand said they wanted it by 2025, and then all the people got pissed, so they dropped it to 2030 like the rest of the countries. So now America, Canada, the UK, and all the other countries are like, okay, we'll just do it by 2030. We'll get rid of all tobacco. Do you know what company is paying all these governments, including Australia, to publish this marketing campaign of a healthier Australia society by having a smoke-free country? Do you know the smoke-free marketing is 100% paid by one company for all countries in the world? New Zealand, by the way, got $1 billion in 2023 from one company to continue producing commercials and posters for a smoke-free New Zealand. Do you know who gave them $1 billion?
Oh, whoever's doing that research to create the nicotine alternatives.
You would think so, but it's not.
Oh.
I was shocked. 2 weeks ago, I learned it's Philip Morris Incorporated that's paying all these countries for this smoke-free agenda.
What?
Okay, now, it doesn't make any sense. They produce Marlboro, and they're the largest tobacco commercial product manufacturer in the world. 90% of all their revenue right now, $37 billion, comes from cigarette use right now. Why would they be bribing all governments of the world with billions of dollars a year to market to their citizens a smoke-free country or world? That's the whole agenda, by the way, a smoke-free world brought to you by Philip Morris. Do you know why they're doing that?
Why?
Did you know that in 2023, Philip Morris acquired 100% of a company called Swedish Match? And do you know what Swedish Match manufactures?
It sounds like a very seedy dating app.
SwedishMatch.com. Nope, it's Swedish Match makes a product all of you see commercials and billboards for called Zyn. Z-Y-N. Nicotine pouches you can suck on. Philip Morris buys them in 2023. In 1 year, they increased their revenue by $3.5 billion, which was 10% revenue increase. Do you know they've bought 9 different e-cigarette companies? When they say they're going to a smoke-free world, they want you to go buy their new technologies that have synthetic nicotine in them that they can profit more from than tobacco products. They don't have to pay farmers to grow tobacco. They can synthetically manufacture nicotine that pharmaceutical industries supply them, and they can sell you e-cig products, pouches, suckets, patches, you name it, in favor of that. It's all about profit and greed. You all think this is, oh, somebody loves you. The government just loves you and doesn't want to have stinky restrooms, bars, churches anymore, and airplanes. No, it's being brought to you by the same people that will profit from the synthetic versions over the plant-based natural products. That's all you're watching. You're watching a charade of profit and greed in favor of synthetics over nature, period. And they're going to figure out how to profit off all these nicotine patented drugs that you're going to see being prescribed by medical doctors all over the world. You would have had the same benefits for your MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ulcerative colitis, arthritis, if you just consume nightshade vegetables and use tobacco products. They don't want you using tobacco. It's a natural plant substance that they can't patent to profit off of. Just like coumarin found in the tonka bean that to this day, since 1953, has an active ban on it. We can't eat it, but we can get a prescription paying $500 a month for Coumadin.
Of course. Man, this is so fascinating. And I think a lot of people, probably need to take a break after listening to this because there's so much new information for people in what you've shared.
Oh, can I give you another one? Here's one more example. You ready?
Go.
Unless you need to sign off and end this conversation.
No. Let's go.
There's another lie being pummeled all over the media and by magazines and medical doctors all over the world. They leave med school being conditioned to tell you 24/7 that salt is bad for you. And consuming too much salt increases your risk of heart attacks and strokes. Well, I have a question for all of you in Australia and everybody around the world. I'd like to ask you, if Maddie here had a heart attack right now and his loved one calls EMTs or paramedics to come save your life, if he had a heart attack right now, they would bring an AED device, put it on his chest, and shock him back to life. And if they get that heart started, do you want to know what the first thing is they're going to pump inside your veins?
Lots of salt.
9,000 milligrams of salt.
Yeah.
Oh, just for context, the American Heart Association says no human being on earth should ever consume into their body more than 1,100 milligrams of salt in a 24-hour period, or it could increase your risk for heart attacks and strokes. My question for you is this. If you have hypertension level blood pressure at stroke level, or you actually have a stroke, or you actually have a heart attack, why is the first action of the medical profession that tells you salt intake increases your risk for heart attacks and strokes? Why, if you have one, is it the first recommendation of all paramedics, EMTs, medical staff in a hospital? Why is the very first action to inject you with 9,000 milligrams of salt, which is four times more than the FDA says you should have in 24 hours? And why is it nine times higher than what the American Heart Association tells you? And why, close your eyes, Australia, why, if you're in a hospital or in an ambulance, why is 100% of you, regardless of the medical condition, I don't care if you have a fever, food poisoning, pregnancy, placenta previa, you're bleeding out. I don't care if you had a bullet shot into your brain. I don't care if you had surgery. I don't care if you have cancer. It doesn't matter. Why is 100% of you in the medical institutions being pumped with 9,000 milligrams of salt every day you're in there, called salt water, saline bags? Why are they giving you nine times the recommended American Heart Association amount of salt every day you're in there? You want to know why you feel better when you're in there immediately within an hour of going there and being admitted? It's because they've been giving you the one nutrient and billing your insurance and government $900 a bag when that bag only cost the hospital and the ambulance service $2 a bag. That's why they lied to you. If they can create a whole society telling you lies 24/7 that salt's bad for you, restrict your salt, lower your salt intake, and increase your risk for heart attack and strokes, actually restricting your salt intake leads to every chronic illness on earth. And they know you're going to get sick eventually. You're going to end up in the hospital and they're going to pump you full of the one thing they've been telling you to avoid your whole life. And they're going to give you so much that you're going to feel immediately better when they give you that nutrient. What you don't know is it's the salt that's making you feel so much better. It's not the morphine. It's not the Advil they're pumping inside of you. It's not the drugs they're giving you or the screening test. They're putting a nutrient inside of you that all mammals on earth require. 6,000 to 9,000 milligrams a day, all of you require. But but they've convinced all of you and manipulated you to reduce how much salt you've consumed in your diet, selling you the idea that it prevents heart attacks and strokes. If that's true, why is it the first thing they pump inside of you to try to save your life from a heart attack or stroke?
Yeah, I think we've all been in that scenario before, right? There's hospital saline bag, and there's always one there.
100% of the time, no matter what's wrong with you, their first thing they reach for is 9,000 milligrams of salt 24 hours a day until you leave.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why does that go for 100% of all problems on the whole planet? Why? Why does all of humanity need 9,000 milligrams of salt every day when you're sick for whatever reason?
Yeah, it's insane to me.
When I say it's all about profit and greed, they love creating misery, death, disease, and illness because they know they're going to profit off it. You're going to call them eventually. They've programmed you to only trust them in their white coats. You're going to call them and you're going to show up and they're going to pump you full of salt. Then they'll give you some other drugs for pain and stuff. And you're going to immediately feel better. And you're going to think, thank God we called the ambulance or we came up to the hospital. And the truth is, oh my God, they just created this entire scenario intentionally just to profit off of your misery. Unfortunately, it's pretty disgusting.
It is. It is. But thank you so much for just the work that you do and the book that you've written and being willing to come and hang out and just share your message with more people that might not have come across you before. Because I think, yeah, the only way for us to change the direction of these Western countries or the health departments is to get more and more people demanding something different and spending their dollar in a way that is more helpful to actual health. So thanks for being a part of that. And in order to, I guess, get people into your world and continue the work that you do, where can we send people to find more about you, find your book, all of that kind of stuff?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'd recommend you go to thedrartistshow.com. It's spelled like right behind me. Without the period, thedrartistshow.com. You can go to healingfortheages.com also. I hope everybody's following the Healing for the Ages group of docs. It's me and three other doctors that are educating people every month of things in the media and in the research and what you need to know to keep you and your family safe and healthy as much as possible without the slavery or bondage to the pharmaceutical industry. Healingfortheages.com. And then you can find me on every controversial outfit. You can find me fact-checked on every factcheck.org platform, you name it. If you're looking in controversial places, you'll find Dr. Brian Artis. So that's where you find me. You also find me on Amazon. My book is actually number one in different categories worldwide since August when I released it, and now an Audible version all over the world. There's also a Spanish version that's already available on Amazon if you speak Spanish or read Spanish. And there's a French version coming out in the next month. And then we plan on having some Australian versions. Just kidding. We know you speak English. We're going to bring you Aborigine dialect books versions of my books for the Outback. That'll be amazing.
Hey, I mean, to be fair, the Aboriginals probably know more about nicotine than we already, you know, they've forgotten more than we will ever learn.
100%. Oh, did you know nicotine is a natural appetite suppressant? It helps people lose weight.
Yeah, I do actually. Yeah.
Oh, so who would favor from that? Oh, the people selling you Ozempic and Wegovy GLP-1 drugs. They would definitely see the challenge to understand that nicotine and chronic users of cigarettes are the most thin, lean people on earth. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So before we wrap up with all of the wild stuff that you know that we need to know more about, what is one piece of health information that you wish more people knew about?
Yeah, I actually would recommend this. Do your own research. Please don't believe anything I say or do. Anything a medical doctor tells you you should take, you should read the package inserts and you should go do your own research before you ever succumb to just following whatever it is they're recommending. I wouldn't trust anything that comes out of a medical doctor's mouth. They could be being honest. You need to go do your own research and trust your gut. Oh my God, trust your intuition. If it doesn't feel right, it isn't. Just walk away. You're going to do great. But do your own research. Unfortunately, read the books. See if it makes sense to you. Always do your own research. It's what I've had to do to protect my family and my children. I haven't vaccinated any of my children. They've never been on drugs ever. And they're all completely healthy. Four of them are adults now. I just need you to know, you don't need what it is you're being told you need. And so do your own research, as I have done.
I think that's fantastic advice. And as somebody who also once worked in hospitals and medical establishments, I have found myself in the same place with our son now and going to do my very best to make sure he doesn't get the advice of a medical doctor throughout his life.
Congratulations.
Anyway, thanks for being here, man. I really appreciate your time, your energy, your work, and hopefully we can do more in the future.
I look forward to it, and God bless Australia. I've loved all of the interactions I've had with all of you there during the last 5 years. It's been very humbling to have our messages reach your shores and reach so many ears there in Australia. God bless all of you.
Right back at you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learned anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.